It's time for Fresh Oil with singer-songwriter and pastor Keith Manley, a program designed to minister the gospel of God's grace and to bring fresh oil to the brokenhearted. And now, with today's program, Pastor Keith Manley.
Hello, my friend. Welcome to Fresh Oil and our new teaching right now on the Grace Revolution. The past 3 weeks, we've been teaching from my new book that's available on Amazon. It's called The Grace Revolution. And this is kind of where it all began for me. Would it surprise you, friend, if I told you that the Bible is a book that contains two religions? You see, the Bible's often seen as a single book with one overarching message. While this is true, in the sense that it all points to Jesus, Yeshua, the Bible actually contains two distinct systems of relating to God, Judaism and Christianity, two religions both found in the same book. I remember in 1982, I was studying Hebrew in the local synagogue, the community center, the Jewish community center here in my city, and I wanted to learn more of the language of the Bible. And the first day, we're going around the table, all the students introducing ourselves. And it gets to me, and I said, "I'm Keith Manley, and I'm a local pastor." And every head turned and looked at me. One little gal was brave enough to raise her hand and say, "Sir, can I ask you a question?" I said, "Sure." She said, "What are you doing here with us Jews?" And I said, "Oh, your Bible is my Bible, the Holy Torah. I just believe in the New Testament and the New Covenant. Your God is my God, Adonai Elohim. I just believe Yeshua, Jesus, is the Messiah." And it's funny because she looked at me and said, "We can handle that." And I became an honorary Jew that day. They adopted me into the family and accepted me, and we went on to study the language of the Bible. You see, these two systems are often referred to as Old Covenant and New Covenant. The Old Covenant was given through Moses, and it was based on the law. It required strict obedience to the commandments for righteousness. There were 613 laws. The New Covenant, ushered in by Jesus, it's based on grace, where righteousness is given through faith in Christ. Sometimes it's too simple for some people to even grasp it. They say it couldn't be that simple, and they reject the gospel. But understanding these two covenants is very crucial to fully embracing the Grace Revolution, because many believers today are still trying to live under both systems, and they mix grace and the law without realizing that they are fundamentally opposed. See, under the Old Covenant, it was a system of performance. Israel's relationship with God was conditional. It totally depended on their obedience to the law. The law was given through Moses. And when God delivered Israel from Egypt, he established a covenant with them at Mount Sinai, giving them the Ten Commandments and over 600 other laws to govern their relationship with him. Exodus chapter 19 and verse 5 and 6, they record God's words to Israel. This is what he said: "Now, if you fully obey me and fully keep my covenant, then out of all nations you will be my treasured possession." The key word here is if. You see, the blessings of the Old Covenant, they were entirely dependent on Israel's ability to obey. If they followed the law, they were blessed. But if they broke it, they came under the curse. All the curses found in Deuteronomy chapter 28. Now, the Old Covenant was a system of rules and regulations. It was a system of animal sacrifices for sin. Could you imagine having to kill an animal every time you sinned? A priesthood that mediated between God and man. They had no direct access to God like we do. And it was a system that depended on repeated efforts to try and attain righteousness. The problem? No one could fully keep the law. The law was holy. There was nothing wrong with it. But humanity was sinful. And instead of bringing life, what the law did was it exposed sin. And it condemned those who failed to keep it. This is what it said in Romans chapter 3 and verse 20. It said, therefore, now when you see the word therefore, stop and see what it's there for. God's going to say something heavy. Therefore, no one will be declared righteous in his sight by observing the law. Rather, through the law, we become conscious of sin. How would you like to be a part of a system that could never make you holy? It never would bring you righteousness, because God said no one, zero, will be declared righteous in his sight by observing the law. So what was the purpose of the law? He went on and said, rather, through the law, we become conscious of sin. Now listen, friend, in churches all across America, people read the law and preach the law, and then they wonder and don't understand why people's lives aren't changing, because they're not teaching the new covenant of grace. Friend, God knew this system was temporary. This old covenant, this system of relating him by performance, because he planned from the beginning when Adam and Eve sinned in the garden, he prophesied that the seed of woman would one day crush the head of the serpent. It was never meant to be the final answer, the old covenant. It was designed to point people to the coming of the new covenant through Yeshua, who we call Jesus. The new covenant, it's a system of grace and faith. Unlike the old covenant, which was based on human performance, the new covenant was totally based on God's grace. In John chapter 1, in verse 17, it sums it up perfectly. It says, the law was given through Moses, but grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. See, Jesus didn't come to add more laws. He came to fulfill the law and to replace it with something better. For years, I read the verse that Paul wrote to Timothy in 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 15 and never understood the meaning of it. This is what it says. Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needs not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Now let me break that down for you. He says first, study to show yourself approved unto God. How do we interpret it? Study hard so one day God will approve you. But that's not what he said. He said, study to show yourself approved unto God. My friend, when you begin to study this new covenant that was revealed by the Apostle Paul, you'll see that God gave you righteousness as a free gift when you received Jesus as your Savior. So you study to see not yourself condemned like you did under the law, but you see yourself approved unto God, that you're his child, that he loves you unconditionally. He goes on and says, a workman that needs not to be ashamed. You see, the law brought shame and condemnation. But then Paul said in Romans 8, there is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. Why? Because through Christ Jesus, the law of the Spirit of life set us free from the law of sin and death. Now look what Paul says as he goes on here in 2 Timothy 2:15. Study to show yourself approved unto God, a workman that needs not to be ashamed. And look what he says, rightly dividing the word of truth. How do you rightly divide the word of truth? Old covenant and new covenant. There is a division in this book we call the Holy Bible. It's the division of the law, which Judaism was totally based on. And then there's grace, which is the new covenant. It was brought about by Jesus when he died on the cross, and it was preached by the Apostle Paul throughout the writings of the New Testament. You see, friend, really, the new covenant didn't begin with Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. It actually began with the book of Acts. Because when Jesus came, he came under the law, preaching the law. As a matter of fact, he was the greatest teacher of the law. He said, you've heard it said, don't commit adultery. I tell you, if you even look at a woman with lust in your heart, you've committed adultery. Why was he the greatest teacher of the law? Because he had to reveal to the Jews that they were sinful and they needed a Savior. They thought they were righteous by keeping the law, but it only exposed their heart. Remember when the woman was caught in the act of adultery and they brought her to Jesus to stone her? The Bible says Jesus knelt down on the sand and he began writing in the sand. And one by one, her accusers left and went away. I've often wondered what he was writing. I believe he was writing the very laws that each of them were breaking in their heart. And he exposed that they themselves were guilty of some of the very things they were accusing the woman of. You see, friend, the Bible is a book that contains two religions. The religion of Judaism, which is a performance-based religion, and then the religion of Christianity, salvation by grace through faith, the new covenant, a total new way of relating to God. Jesus didn't come to patch up the old covenant. No, he came to replace it entirely. You say, Keith, he didn't do away with the old covenant. No, he didn't. But he came to replace it with this new covenant of grace. I no longer relate to God based on my performance. See, in Luke chapter 5 and verse 37, Jesus illustrated this truth. He said, "No one pours new wine into old wineskins. Otherwise, the new wine will burst the skins. The wine will run out and the wineskins will be ruined. No, new wine must be poured into new wineskins." See, the old wineskins, they represented the old covenant, rigid, rule-based, and unable to contain the new wine of grace. So Jesus was teaching that grace and law cannot be mixed. You must fully embrace one or the other. That's why on the night before his crucifixion, Jesus took the cup and he said this, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood, which is poured out for you." You see, with his death and resurrection, Jesus sealed the new covenant, a relationship with God based on his finished work on the cross and not on our performance. Many Christians today try to mix grace and the law, but it's dangerous, friend, because they don't mix. They're two totally different covenants. In the old, the new is contained, but in the new, the old is explained. I still embrace the Old Testament as history and to see grace in the old that God was pointing towards Yeshua, the Messiah. But Paul warns us in Galatians 3 and verse 3, he said, "Are you so foolish? After beginning by means of the Spirit, are you now trying to finish by means of the flesh?" He was saying, you can't start out in grace and then fall back into legalism, because the moment we try and earn what God has freely given us, we deny the power of the cross. See, the Bible presents two ways of relating to God: law, performance-based, dependent upon our human effort, or grace, which is faith-based, dependent on Jesus' finished work at the cross. I want to leave you with this verse today. It's a great verse, Galatians 2:21. It emphasizes the point I'm making. Paul said, "I do not set aside the grace of God. For if righteousness could be gained through the law, Christ died for nothing." See, friend, if we could be good enough on our own, then Jesus didn't need to die. But he did die because only grace can save us, sustain us, and transform us. So how do we embrace this new covenant? We rest in Jesus' finished work at the cross. We reject legalism. We begin to walk in freedom, living in the joy and the peace and the rest that grace provides. And then we are confident before God. We approach him boldly, knowing that we are fully accepted. The grace revolution, it's about returning to the truth that Jesus is enough, letting go of performance-based religion and stepping in to faith-based relationship. Thank you for joining me today on Fresh Oil as we are teaching the Grace Revolution, a book that I have now on Amazon. Walk in grace. God loves you, friend. He does.
Thanks for joining us today for Fresh Oil with Pastor Keith Manley. Fresh Oil is an outreach of Grace Family Church in Rockford, Illinois, and can be heard each weekday at this same time. You can reach us online at weneedgod.com. Until next time, remember, God's love for you is unconditional, and he makes his mercies new every morning.